Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
T and Sal on the Fan, and we started the show talking about Sam Darnold last night and his performance, and really, BT, more about where a week ago we were talking about possible options for the Giants at quarterback outside of just the obvious with Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders coming out of the draft. It was talking about Aller coming out of Penn State. Well, now he is officially going back to college for another year, so he's off the board. With Darnold's performance last night, you would think that J.J. McCarthy isn't going anywhere. That was a thought. Oh, maybe they could trade for J.J. McCarthy. There's no way now Minnesota, after Sam's performance the last 2 weeks, will move on from McCarthy, which to me then leaves the Giants with much fewer options and less appealing options, meaning that the fewer options you are, you're almost put in one spot. I don't think they're going to get Cam Ward. Maybe it's about Shedeur Sanders, but to me, I don't like a lot of the options that the Giants have presented at quarterback.
It's a very unappealing list if you try to pull yourself out of this hellhole of football. I mean, Russell Wilson's not going to do it. I mean, Jameis Winston's not going to do it. Joe Flacco's not going to do it. So really, I think for me, it comes down to the two names, Darnold and Justin Fields, and obviously whatever you could do in the draft here. Now, you know, with Deion having a conversation with Dallas, and we'll see where that goes, that obviously could change. I saw some, you know, you and I talked about maybe the prospects of the Cowboys. This is really fantasy land here, but where maybe the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants do a trade, maybe, where Dak winds up with the Giants. Not going to happen, but what might be a little bit more realistic is the Tennessee Titans make a trade, and Dak Prescott goes to the Tennessee Titans, and the Titans and the Cowboys do some business, and that enables them to take Sanders if they hire Deion or one. Because, again, as much as the Giants need to resolve their quarterback situation, and as much as Dallas is going to be motivated to get Shedeur Sanders if they hire Deion, you know, I just still, under no circumstances at this level, I don't mean like a middle round pick or whatever, or like, you know, a back of the roster guy. How the hell are the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys going to make a trade of this proportion at the top of the draft?
Yeah, I think
how do you do that?
I think it's a great point. And another option can be removed if Deion does go to Dallas. And we understand that that's probably a long shot for the sake of conversation. I would think so. I would think that there's more, because Deion said, this is his own words, that he would only go if he had the chance to coach both of his sons. So they would have to then trade up to be able to get Sanders. But even if Deion just went to Cowboys, forget about the trade with Shedeur for a second. There's no way he's going to go to Dallas and coach against his son twice a year in the division. Okay, so take that off the board. Now, if he were to go to Dallas and they were to somehow trade up for that number one pick, and maybe Tennessee does like Dak, who knows, and they make it fit, then that would really eliminate the any possibility of getting one with the third pick, because Cam Ward's going to go number two to the Browns.
Yes,
then.
Yes.
Because the only way I think the Giants get a quarterback in the current situation is if Shedeur and Deion force their way away from Cleveland, which would land them in the Giants' lap, potentially, assuming the Giants would even want him, which who knows if that's the case. But I think Cam Ward's going number one. If the Titans made a trade with the Cowboys for Dak, let's say, in that pick, then I think Cam Ward's going too. I don't think the Giants are going to have a chance to get Cam Ward. So if Shedeur is off the board in Dallas, or you know, whatever, with that trade with Tennessee.
Yep.
Now what? Now you have Aller's not there, Cam Ward's going to be gone, and Sanders not there. Now what?
Well, that's why it's changed for the worse, and it's a very unenviable position to be in, because the options, and there were a couple of appealing options a week or so ago, or at least a few possibly intriguing outlets for the Giants to pursue. I think that's dwindled significantly, and you just laid out why. I don't need to tell everybody again. You nailed it with the Aller stuff and mm-hmm. the McCarthy stuff. Now, two things here. So any trade involving Dak, I did a little research on this. I just can't rifle numbers at people. It's incredibly boring. It's ridiculous. Just know this. If Dak Prescott was traded, you're talking about over $105 million of dead money. That would be directly applied to the 2025 cap. That's untenable. So as much as we can sit here and come up with these trades, I don't know how the hell anybody can make that work. So that's number one. Number two. Forget about Shador, but let's examine just a little bit more Deion in Dallas. If it's not Deion to coach, who is it? Is it Ben Johnson? Is it Kellen Moore? Like, who is it?
What about Aaron Glenn?
No. Why not?
Just because you want him with the Jets?
No. I don't even think that they're
former Cowboy?
I don't even think that they're remotely connected to Aaron Glenn.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
No, I could see that. Listen, Belichick is off the table, although there is the $10 million buyout, so I guess he's not officially off the table. You're not getting Vrabel. You're not getting Belichick. If it's not Deion, you just fired McCarthy. Steelers probably won't trade Tomlin. I mean, that's why I think Deion's more in play in Dallas than you do.
Right, and if he is, then that would, let's say, however it shakes out, I would think it would eliminate Shador from the Giants conversation. So back to what we were talking about earlier. You brought up Sam Darnold.
Slinging Sandy.
Now, the appeal, I don't want to take the words out of your mouth, but the appeal would be that you're not going to get him at the contract that we thought prior to the Sunday night performance against the Lions and then, of course, last night. I would want no part of Darnold, even if it's for lesser money.
Yep.
But you like Sam Darnold as a stopgap option.
I do. I actually really like him as a stopgap for the Giants here. So to me, you got to look at a couple of ways here. And if you fall on the side different than I do, then you have a different answer. And I obviously respect that. So the 5 months of film, basically 5 months that he just put on for all teams to examine, Sam Darnold, is that the outlier? Or is it the week 18 matchup against Detroit and last night combined? Is that the outlier? Quite frankly, I don't think it's either. Like, I don't think he was the superstar that he was at points this season. You know, 5 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns. He went bonkers some of these games against pretty good teams. I never viewed him as that guy, and I don't think he's as bad as he looked the last couple of weeks. So I think the answer is somewhere in between. But because he was so bad or just not as good in these, because I think some things melted around him as well. Not all his fault, but he's got to get rid of the ball quicker. We know that. I do think that there will be more of a reaction to that, all right, the bad stuff, than the good stuff, which means the number is going to dwindle significantly, which gives me an appetite to try to strike a deal for Sam Darnold with the Giants.
Right. If I'm going to go down that road and I want the Giants to get a franchise quarterback, doesn't mean that they're going to turn out that way, but I'd rather have one in the draft that you could say, okay, well, this is going to be our guy. We're going to find out over the next 3 seasons how good he could be. If it's not going to be that, of the options that are out there, I'd rather Justin Fields than Sam Darnold. I just don't love Sam Darnold. I don't love him here in this city, in that building. I wouldn't like anything about it. And what solidified that or cemented it for me was his performance in the biggest games of the year. He had a terrific season, looked confident throwing the football. And then against the Lions in the biggest game of the year, he failed. And he was even worse last night, holding on to the ball forever against the Rams. So in the biggest games, when the Vikings needed Sam the most, he came up the smallest. And based on what he did with the Jets when he was here, based on those two last games that he had, I would want no part of him, even if it were for $20 million a year or whatever.
Okay, I get that. We disagree. But let's throw this on the hopper as well. We haven't really looked at this possibility because it's pretty much been with us this morning. Darnold is an option. You like Fields better. And we haven't really incorporated another thing, which could be maybe more appealing. How about Fields or Darnold and a quarterback at 3? Or Fields or Darnold and trade out of 3 and take the next best quarterback wherever you could get him?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume in your scenario of bringing in Darnold, you're taking a quarterback at some point in the draft. But that, to me, is not good enough. Yeah, I mean, look, they've got to believe he's the guy. They should have been doing this years ago. It's hard for me to ignore that fact, BT, where I would have done this last year in a quarterback-rich draft. They needed a quarterback. They could have done that last year. They didn't do it, and now they're in a tough spot. I mean, I don't know. I'm not scouting the entire country. So,
well, even the scouts get it wrong half the time. Who the hell knows with these kids?
Correct. That's the point. But based on what we've been told about this draft, It's not a quarterback-heavy draft.
It's not.
As a matter of fact, the two kids that are likely going to go 1 and 2 wouldn't even be really top picks in an otherwise in an other draft with you know more average quarterbacks.
Yep.
So if you're already reaching at 1 and 2, what does that say about round 2 or 3? Doesn't mean you can't find a good quarterback. But I don't trust that Shane and Dable are going to find that quarterback and develop him this year, which is going to be necessary for them to keep their jobs and have some continuity
and this
with the
Giants. This is why I fundamentally disagreed with bringing them back.
Right. Because if it were not them and it were a new regime,
you could take your time. You have clear thought.
Right.
You're not under the gun.
Which is what they should have done 3 years ago when they were first hired. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bruce is in Yonkers. What's up, Bruce?
Gentlemen, love the show.
Thank you.
How you guys doing?
How are you?
Good, man.
Good. Here's my take on the Giants quarterback. The Giant fans are not going to like this, but listen. Who's in our division? The Eagles, the Redskins, and Dallas. What are our chances of making the playoffs next year?
Very little.
Thank you. Agreed. Okay.
That was easy. Next.
Yeah. moving on. Okay, so moving on. I think Ward and Sanders are no sure thing. I mean, I think they're probably the top two picks, but I don't think either one is a sure thing. So I really think we got to bite the bullet this year. We got to not spend a lot of money on a quarterback. Either bring in Garoppolo, Fields, even DeVito or Taylor. You know, we're not winning.
You can't have DeVito be the there's no way you can DeVito.
I'd rather have Garoppolo than Sam. I don't love Jimmy G either, but I'd rather have him than Sam. Me personally.
Okay. I'm good with that. And we got to trade the pick. We got to get more picks.
Yeah.
Because those guys, they're not sure things. We got to get more picks. We got a lot of holes besides quarterbacks.
Well, why wouldn't you, Bruce? And thank you for the call. Why wouldn't you take a sure thing and let's say Carter at number 3, and then just try to build out?
Well, I've said that.
Yeah. Well, right. I'm saying in his scenario where he's saying, well, there's no sure things, or if you don't love them, yes. In theory, I agree with you. I just think that they put themselves in an impossible spot where they need a quarterback. How the hell are they going to get a quarterback if they don't draft one? You're telling me, okay, well, second or third round in a weak quarterback draft? That doesn't seem realistic. And then you're looking at the other options that we presented, whether it's Garoppolo, whether it's Sam Darnold or Justin Fields or whoever shakes free. Like, are they really good options? Like, the Giants, bottom line, the Giants are screwed either way, unfortunately.
They're better options than what we watched this year.
Yeah.
And at some point, there's got to, even if it's a slight elevation, they've just got to start inching toward respectability. And listen, I understand that it's easy to speak about this in broad general terms in January. Yeah, you can find a quarterback middle rounds. Yeah, there's always somebody out there. And I know that it's never that easy. But think about the guy that I just told you for $105.3 million dead cap hit in 2025 if he's dealt. Talking about Dak Prescott, fourth round pick out of Mississippi State. So, you never know. The other thing that I would say, too, is, and I've said this for a while, I am okay if they love somebody at 3 that's not a quarterback. Now, Andrew Thomas has to finally get healthy one of these years, but on paper going into this season, the Giants have an elite stud left tackle, an elite stud D lineman at Dexter Lawrence, an elite stud wide receiver in Malik Nabers, and I'm going to say Burns is borderline elite at what he does as an edge rusher as well. And that's probably it for now. And a really young, interesting, explosive, cheap running back. So there's a few components, okay? So if you could add to the given department, the definite department, the stud department, in a non-quarterback position, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and they just put themselves in a weird spot. I would be okay with that in theory. I just want them to get a franchise quarterback. Joe is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Joe.
So, BT. In regards to Darnold, to the Giants, I got two words, Sonny Gray. There's just guys that are not cut out for New York, and I don't think Darnold is. I mean, he's thriving in Minnesota. What's to say he comes back to New York? He's not going back to seeing ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, he might. I mean, he's not bringing O'Connell with him. He's not bringing Justin Jefferson with him. Understood. See, I don't think it's a regional thing. I think it's more of a surroundings thing, like independent of the city. The Jets were a mess, and the Vikings aren't. And by the way, he got to sit in a quarterback room in San Francisco, absorb a little bit, learn a little bit, be around Shanahan, hit the reset without playing. Like, that's valuable stuff.
The other thing is Sonny Gray was good before he got here. Sam Darnold was not good when he was first here, then went elsewhere, and he built himself up to a certain extent. like, Sam Darnold is what he is at this point. I don't think he's got the upside of even Baker Mayfield, where there's been those comparisons. Oh, look at what Baker Mayfield did. And there's obviously something to it, where these young quarterbacks are put in horrible situations. All the talent in the world, the skill set that allows them to be a top pick, a number one pick, a number two, number three pick overall. And they're put in situations that are conducive to failing.
Mm-hmm.
And they fail. Then they go elsewhere and have had success. So I do believe in that. We've seen that with multiple players. I do believe that there's something to be said about that, to where Sam Darnold could be a decent quarterback. And he proved it this year. He proved he could be a decent quarterback. But would I want him to be the Giants quarterback, even at a lowered cost based off of his performances the last two games out? In this town, in that building, with his issues, which to me are more mental than anything else. Like, yep. Baker Mayfield may have physical limitations. There are zero mental limitations with Baker Mayfield. He's got the...
I love him. He's an elevator. I don't think Sam's an elevator. I think Baker can elevate a little bit.
Yeah,
he has.
He's got the guts. Like, Sam throwing the football may be prettier than Baker. Baker could throw it, but he's also going to run it down your throat and get up and spike it in your face and not be intimidated by any media or any team. And Sam, to me, is kind of like Daniel Jones, where I think when things start to go wrong or get a little shaky, they go the wrong way, and then you got to recover them again, and that can sometimes be impossible, like it was with Jones.
Who do you think's better, Jones or Sam?
I think that's a great question. Okay, give me the circumstance. Like, are we talking about outside of New York 1 year, who do I think can win me the most games next year?
Who do you think has more pure talent? I think it's Sam Darnold.
I don't know, man. I mean, Jones...
I know Danny's a little quicker. I get that.
Jones is a better runner by far.
Yeah.
More physical, better runner by far. He's got some intangibles that I like as far as being a leader, being tough. He's got a big arm.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not accurate. I think Sam's a better passer. I think Jones is a better athlete. And I feel like you could do more, as Dable did, with Jones' skill set running the football than you can with Sam Darnold, who eventually is going to make terrible mistakes through the year.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, some of the plays that were designed this year that before Jones, you know, was sent back in, there were plays to be made. Not a ton. I want to overstate it. I think Darnold connects on some of those.
You know, I think, but also you're talking about Jones in year six, where he's already been ruined.
Yeah.
Jones in year one, to me, was better than Darnold early. I know Darnold has
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
And then just over the years, it just got worse and worse and worse for Jones, to a point where he was beaten down beyond repair. But the success that Dable had with him in his first year, I don't think he would have that success with Sam Darnold that year, or even a Sam Darnold this year. I think Darnold more of a product of O'Connell's offense and what he had around him, whereas Jones did it with his legs. Now, it's not sustainable, obviously.
I mean, he also threw 15 touchdowns. Yeah. You basically take three games. Sam Darnold had 15 touchdowns in three games.
That's what I mean. Now, the real test would be if we got to see Daniel Jones in this offensive system with the Vikings. I don't think either are good enough. But I'd rather have Daniel Jones.
And the crazy thing is, if you could put them together, you got a stud.
Yeah, right.
If Sam had his wheels or vice versa,
right.
You got a player.
BT and Sal, unfortunately, can't put that together.
You can't do
and
that. Maybe in Madden you can.
And
maybe that's appealing to Woody.
Yeah. Create your own player. Woody's still looking for that option in reality. All right, more of your calls when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Back before I got jacked, I was on the same track. Back up, because it's on N-A-T-E and me.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Did you see Warren G last night at the game?
No.
He was there with the Raiders. You didn't see that, Hoff? You guys were wondering why I wanted a little regular.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
I was like, Warren G's in the house doing the for the Rams game. They had a Rams jersey on, representing L.A., of course, in the neutral site game. Made me think of Regulate, which is one of my favorite songs. You could relate to this, BT. I used to have that on my Walkman.
Okay.
And I would have that on
a tape, you mean?
Yeah. On repeat before a baseball game. I remember driving to the games, and my dad would drive me, and I had the headphones on. I was listening to Regulate just over and over and over again.
And then you'd watch for 2 hours from the bench, and then you'd put the Regulate right back on. You got it.
Then I put that slick glove.
Yeah, that's the second base. Sally Boy turns two.
Well, at that point, I was playing shortstop.
Okay.
Anyway, Warren G was good.
Stuff.
So a couple of things here for housekeeping. Have you gotten your costume yet for Brother Love? You got to dress up?
It's ordered. I told you, yeah.
You're all set? Well,
I'm upset, man.
Okay.
Now, I have white pants, so I don't have to buy those.
Okay.
I've got the white blazer coming. I've got the red shirt coming. I've got the white tie coming. I've got the red paint coming. I've got I showed you five or six rings that I bought. What else is there? I've got it. Now, the only thing I don't, the glasses.
And the hairpiece.
The hairpiece. That's the one thing, because I've looked. And they've got wigs everywhere, but I've got to get the slicked back wig.
Yeah, or I guess you could get a wig and then, can you gel a wig?
I didn't even think about
Brother
that.
Brother BT!
Almost there.
Hoff has a more complex costume with Papa Shango. Hoff, where are we at in that process? Remember, Friday before Super Bowl, so you got some time here.
Yeah, no, I just ordered it yesterday, so I feel really good. And I'm going to add some spice to it, too. Maybe some things that are... not normal.
What do you mean not? What do you mean not normal?
Maybe
not normal,
Papa Shango, right?
Only Papa Shango, but I'm going to have some extra pieces to it that I'm adding to it. I'm having a little fun with it.
I'm confused at that. You got to dress like Papa Shango.
Oh, I'm going to dress like Papa Shango, but I'm going to have some extra. Extra elements.
Are you going with the, what do you call it? Not a singlet. What's the wrestling?
It's like a wrestling singlet. Yeah.
You're not wearing that, are you?
Oh, am I supposed to?
He's got to. No,
he's wearing the singlet?
He got to. That's part of the costume.
Oh, that's right.
Ugh. Yeah.
Speaking of this, before we get back to the call.
Wait, and you think that you tricked me into making you? Are you? Trust me, I'm so happy that I made the choice
Listen, I'm getting the fake tattoos. I'm getting it all.
Really?
Yes.
I did the fake tattoos when it was my daughter's second birthday. I was Maui. The fake tattoos are fun. I almost wanted to start getting some more tattoos.
Oh, really?
The one that I have, yeah.
Lastly, before we move back to the calls here on the same type thing, I've noticed something about one of our coworkers, Evan Roberts.
So he's a geek?
No.
He's sick a lot?
Well, no.
He's crazy with the scoring?
Unfortunately, he has been banged up a little bit around here. He's got to get himself healthy. He's working too much. That's the problem.
He's a man boy?
Those Ricos. No, no. All those things, it may be true, but that's not what I was talking about.
Oh.
So they came up with this new thing, like the L.
I saw it, the L chain.
Okay. Evan, you know, like Gallagher?
Yeah.
What was Gallagher?
I saw Gallagher in concert.
Did you really?
When he would smash the watermelons?
Yeah.
I saw him in concert at the Hudson Civic Center, which is where they used to do the WWF tapings.
I
saw him in concert, that
why
guy.
Why did you go see Gallagher?
Because nine girls asked me to go, and I was the only guy. And I'm like, yeah, I was a freshman in college. I'm like, I'm going.
Acceptable
why
answer.
Why wouldn't I go?
Acceptable answer.
Come on.
No, otherwise, I'm thinking, why would you want to go see Gallagher? Like, Gallagher, I've never seen anything funny. I've never thought it was funny about this guy
either.
Smashing watermelons with a mallet.
Uh-huh.
But what would you say that he is? Gallagher was a...
I guess a comedian, I didn't really find him too funny.
He was a...
Smasher.
He was a prop comic, right?
Yeah. Okay, go for that, yeah.
Evan
would
Roberts...
Would take us forever to guess that, by the way, Hoff.
I don't know why. He's a prop
suddenly
comic.
Suddenly he sounds brilliant.
But that's not a popular phrase, what do you mean?
A prop comic? I've never heard that one.
Like Carrot Top is a prop.
No, he is.
Prop.
I just never really... I'm impressed that you used that. Nice job.
I mean, he's a prop comic.
Yeah.
So point is, Evan is becoming a prop talk show host. A
little bit.
He's got the props all over the place. The A-Rod thing, the tiki thing here with Breeze Hall.
His trains for Christmas, his fake snow.
He's got the L stuff, all the shirts that he's wearing.
He's got the Lukey and Maresh, the debate board, whatever it is. Yeah, that's true.
He's big into props.
He's a prop kid.
I think he might be the... Gallagher was a prop comic. Evan is the first ever prop talk show host, I think.
It's an interesting observation. Now, was that a good thing or a bad thing?
Mm, it's an Evan thing. I'm not saying it's good nor bad.
It's radio. How can it be good?
Yeah, well...
He's on TV,
and obviously with digital now, it feels like everybody's on TV because it's so visual.
Yeah.
And Evan and I, he did accept the challenge. He wanted to go champion versus champion, and the loser has to wear a shirt with the other person's face on it that says "Picks Champion for the Year." So, another
problem. Is any bet we can get our hand on around here? Hey, I'll bet you I walk to the bathroom quicker.
It does make it more interesting. Would you go over the weekend? Do you know what your record was?
I had a rough one, man. I lost the Chargers game. Okay. I won the Ravens. The Ravens was my best bet. I told you for a week. I'm like, they're going to squash them. I did win that. I think I lost the other ones. I took Denver. Loss. I had the Commanders.
Okay, so that's a win.
And I had the Rams last night. So
you were 3-3?
And I lost the Packers.
Okay. Hoff, I think it was 3-3. Any idea what you were?
I think I was 2-4.
Okay,
then.
See, here's
you
the
and
point.
I were very similar, right?
Right. I had the Vikings, though. You had the Rams.
That's right.
Here's the point. I was 4-2, and I'm just saying, but I paid attention to it because I have something on the line. You guys really don't have anything on the line, so it's like, You pick the game, sure, and you're in.
Well, how do you know I didn't bet those games? You don't know that.
Well, but I was asking you what your record was. You're like, I think I did this game. Now, so I'm saying, like, so to put even the T-shirt, even to put the T-shirt.
Getting on me here, Huff.
No, I'm saying even to put, like, something on the line, it just makes it a little more. Like, I was into that because I don't want to lose to Evan and wear his face on my.
No, that's that.
Right?
It's an interesting face.
Did you bet
it?
Any games this weekend?
Actually, I didn't. I laid out. I should have. I'm going to start. I'll tell you what I'm going to start doing. We'll get to this in one. I'm going to start betting against the Knicks.
Okay.
No, I'm just kind of kidding with that. But
we'll do the Knicks at one. You're not going to
make some
that.
Money if you start doing that lately. Wake up.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We talked earlier about the fan who was yelling at another fan in Philadelphia, some nasty things, and he might be in trouble. Ralph is in Yonkers, wanted to talk about that. What's up, Ralph?
Hi, guys. Real quick, I'll just get my points out 30 seconds or so, and then I'll hang up and listen to you guys. BT, I think you were giving us a little bit, you and me and everybody, most normal people, disservice when you're comparing an argument to your wife, and if somebody saw you in your worst moment, that's fine. That's very different than being in a public place yelling obscenities at a woman. That's two very different things, in my opinion.
Ralph, I think it may be. Ralph, hold on. I totally agree. No, the example why I said that, like it with me, Sal, Huff, anyone that's in a public spotlight, if it was, you know, a loud argument and that's what was captured at a public place and it was put out there on the social sphere, it wouldn't be a good representation of who I am. And that's what I was saying. I'm not comparing it to that vile who should get his face kicked in.
Most people would never yell obscenities at a woman that you don't
agree.
Even know.
Well,
I'm not saying you don't. I just wanted to make that point.
Right,
the other thing, two other quick things.
Go ahead, quickly.
Two other quick things. It depends on what job. I mean, we talk about whether the guy should be fired. It depends on what job. If I own a small insurance agency, I have 7 employees. He's one of them. He's gone. You know, and just because I don't like him anymore. And nobody else should have anything to say about it. And one other thing, two things can be true. He can lose his job and get rehab. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
That's true. Right. Thanks for the call. And again, who the heck knows? Now we're going down the rabbit hole of you know, people getting fired for doing the wrong thing. I would almost think if you're at a smallish company that it's probably easier to keep that person than if you're at a recognizable brand name, because I think the blowback for the recognizable brand would be so over the top that they'd almost have to react to it, compared to a little mom-and-pop shop that nobody knows about and probably wouldn't be able to force into a move.
Correct. If it is a global brand, you're more likely to be in bigger trouble than you were if it is to use your words, mom-and-pop shop. But, yeah, I mean, there's different things. Ralph was all over the place.
He was.
It was there's no accepting that abhorrent behavior that fan displayed in Philadelphia. That's not what we're talking about, though. We were putting ourselves in real-life situations that happens. I don't care who you are, how nice you are. Everybody's gotten into a fight with their family, their parents, their
everybody
spouse.
Everybody has a bad day.
Yeah, of course everybody's got a bad day. So if you happen to be filmed in your worst moment in the grocery store, I mean, I remember having arguments with my wife. It's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But if that happens and somebody's like, oh, hey, there's BT or there's Sal.
I agree.
And you film it, you're going to look completely like an idiot.
Yes.
And in your worst moment on the film, it's going to be bad for your image or for your brand, even though it's just something that happens in everyday life, meaning that you have to be overly cautious and aware of your surroundings in today's world because everybody's got a phone at every time. Now, that's not to say that that's comparable to what this knucklehead did in Philadelphia, but...
And it looked like the Eagles did the right thing. Just the Eagles stepped in, too. I think they sent her a bunch of Packers gear, and they popped. Like, the Eagles seemingly did the right thing.
Somebody said Big Dom, I guess, found out who it was. I don't know if the Eagles addressed it publicly, but yeah, I did read that in the post that they sent her a little bit of a care package, which is the right thing to do. You can't have fans being treated like that at these games. Why would you go to the games? I ask you why you go see Gallagher. Why would you go to these games if you're going to have the risk of getting treated like that or even be in a situation where you may have, like if I'm the husband, I don't want to go anymore because I don't want to have to react to somebody that says something to my wife or kid.
That's true.
Because now you're putting me in an impossible spot.
100%.
By the way, it was called the Sledge-O-Matic.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what Hurley texted.
Was he 80s or 90s? He had to come up in
the
80s.
He was horrible. Smashing.
I saw him in the early 90s, and I don't think he was like just starting out.
Where'd you see him again?
The Mid-Hudson Civic Center. Yeah, it was horrible.
Gallagher, come on, dude. I got it.
It's just me.
Yeah.
Basically the whole basketball team.
Using the BTO.
The women's team.
888-808-1019, the number to call. Actually, we have Baldy coming up on the other side, so we'll get into the wild card weekend and then look ahead to the divisional round with Baldy as well.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Make sure to check out the Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Baldy, it's been a big theme for us so far today, the performance of Sam Darnold, not only last night, but also last Sunday against the Lions, the two biggest spots. He has not looked good. What's your assessment on Sam Darnold moving forward, potentially fit for a quarterback, whether it's the Giants or Jets? Give me your thoughts on Darnold.
Well, I mean, he hasn't helped himself on any kind of resume, but he did start 18 games for the Vikings. He was 14-4 as a starter. He did throw 36 touchdown passes in the 18 games that he started. Now, he's had five duds, not just these last 2 weeks, but he had three others against the Bears, some other games where he wasn't very good. They found a way to win one of those. But, I mean, in prime time, he was terrible last night. He was worse the week before. He scored one touchdown in two games. You know, the protection let him down last night from the opening pass of the game when he was sacked. And he didn't seem like he knew where the outlets were when there were might have been outlets available. And so, I mean, it's just unraveled for him in these last 2 weeks. And so he probably cost himself a lot of money in a lot of interviews. But he's still going to be, because there's always a dearth of quarterbacks, he's still going to create some kind of a buzz and some kind of demand for his services next year.
Well, Boldy, in some ways, I think this might actually work out favorably for the Giants here, if the Giants even have any interest or any other team that would want Sam. Because, listen, I never really thought that the regular season, the good stuff, was a truly accurate reflection of who he's become. And I certainly think he's better than he's played the last couple of weeks. So But the memory of these last two games will obviously drive the price down, so it very well might come down to the neighborhood of $20-something million, which would open up the doors for a lot of teams. So if I said to you, all right, we've talked about the Giants every week with you here on the show. Say a Justin Fields or a Darnold for next year for the Giants. Which one do you like better?
I like Sam. I like Sam better.
Yep.
You know, he just lined up and played 18 games. You know, he's been able to stay healthy since those early years with the Jets. He's been well coached the last couple of years by Sean McVay and now Kevin O'Connell. I think he's been well coached. I think he understands pro systems and a lot of things about playing the quarterback position. He knows New York and the demands and everything that goes with it, the spotlight, everything that comes with playing quarterback in New York, playing for an organization that had Eli and Phil. I think he would understand all of that, and I don't think it would be too big for him. But you're right. The price tag is definitely going to come down. I believe what the Vikings will do, and I've talked to the general manager about this weeks ago, but I believe they're going to let Sam go out and test the market and listen to whatever offers they make, and then they'll make a decision whether they want to match that offer or not. And so I think he's going to be, he's going to be the ultimate free agent at that position right now.
You think there's any way the Vikings would trade J.J. McCarthy?
No.
Right. Okay.
No, I don't know why they would do it. He's on a rookie contract. You're giving away maybe the next 4 years at a very, bargain basement price of a rookie deal. And he's got, he's going to be healthy. Like, I've heard people say that, but I never understood why the Vikings would do that.
Right, and especially now, off of the two bad performances from Sam Darnold, you would think even more the reason to keep him, which then leads us again. The Giants' options for a franchise quarterback here, Baldy, are limited. I mean, what are we looking at? They don't even have the top two picks, so you can't guarantee Ward or Shador Sanders. Who knows if those guys are even the guys that they like, but the owner came out and said they need a franchise quarterback. It's clear they need one. I mean, what other options are we even looking at here for the Giants?
Well, I mean, it's we don't know who's going to be a free agent, who's going to be available. We don't know trades in the draft and things that can happen. I'd like to see what Riley Leonard looks like at Notre Dame in the national championship game, just to take a look. I don't know if he's a first-round pick or not, but I know he's a playmaker and an athlete and smart. But, I think the quarterback evaluation process hasn't really begun yet. I mean, we know who Shador Sanders is. We know who Cam Ward is. But we really don't know any of the other players that are going to be in the draft to really study them, to really say, like, okay, this guy could be Jaden Daniels. I don't think we're at that spot yet, although I don't believe there's Jaden Daniels in this draft, period. And then we got to see who shakes loose from whatever organizations right now. 2 years ago, we didn't know Baker Mayfield could throw 41 touchdown passes in a season. We just thought he was washed up and old and, his career was over, and here he is. So, you got to kind of see who shakes free right now. I don't think you can make any of those judgments right now.
I know he's going back to school and a wise decision. Drew Aller didn't do much against Notre Dame. And we briefly mentioned him to you last week. Sam and I spent a lot of time on him last week. He's young. He's only 20, needs some more seasoning. I know he didn't throw a pass to a wide receiver that game, but he didn't play well. But when you watched him, I know you watched every snap. I mean, push this thing a year forward with Drew, maybe 6, 7, 8 more pounds, more experience. Do you love him or do you like him moving forward?
I don't think he's the franchise quarterback. I just think his decision-making, I know he had the one great game against the Colts, and it was a phenomenal game. But he's never played like that in preseason or regular season. He was offered the job in Seattle to compete with Geno Smith, and he was terrible in his last preseason game, and Geno Smith won the job. I mean, I think he has started with the Giants now, maybe 7 games. Like, it's not a lot to go on, and he's been banged up at times. I don't believe he's the franchise quarterback.
Would I want him on my roster?
No, I keep him on the roster.
Yeah, I said Drew Aller. Sorry about that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got you. Oh, good.
Yeah, no. Look, Drew Aller was not good at all for Penn State the other day. One game shouldn't kill him. I don't know if he's going to come out or if he stays. NIL money makes it real feasible for these guys to stay if they don't believe they're going to be a top 10 pick. And I don't know at this point that Drew Aller is a top 10 pick. He's going to lose his tight end, which is his best weapon, but Penn State always sort of reloads. So, the money in college makes it easy to stay for another year if you don't believe you're ready or if the scouts are telling you you're not going to be a top 10, 15 pick.
Baldy, who's the best coach you think that's available for the Jets? What do you think would be the best fit, including Mike McCarthy, who now is available as well?
Well, I thought Mike Vrabel would have been a good choice. Obviously they lost out. I think Ben Johnson is a guy that you have to talk to. I mean, he's got the best offense in football by far, and it's been like that for a couple of years. And he comes highly, highly touted. I don't know what he's going to be like, if he's just going to be a coordinator or if he's going to have everything it takes to be the next Sean McVay. I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows, but, I mean, you've got to be impressed by what they're doing right now.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, so you gave us the answer. You're impressed. But is there such a thing as maybe having too extensive of a search where there's just too much going on and you don't really focus on what you need to focus on?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Yeah. I think the net can get too wide.
Huh.
Because then you're like, well, what are you looking for? You're waiting for somebody just to jump out at you in a meeting?
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, I was talking to Deion Sanders on Thursday at the Hula Bowl, and he was like, you know, he likes the old school disciplinarian. But he likes Belichick. He likes Harbaugh. He likes, you know, what you've seen from Sean Payton, like coaching hard, believing in all of the discipline where guys get fined if they're late, if they're not on time, treatment. And I don't know if these guys you're looking at right now even come close to that. You know, Matt Nagy, Aaron Glenn, you know, I mean, Darren Rizzi, whoever they've talked to.
Yeah.
I mean, do these guys feel that? Because that's what they need. They need that to begin with. And I don't know if Robert Saleh was that. I don't feel like he was that type of guy. But they need that old school type of approach. That's what, you know, that's what they had with the Giants for two head coaches that won four Super Bowls. They had.
But I got a question for you, though. Can you be that guy without the resume?
It's a good question. Obviously, Harbaugh comes with a resume, and Sean Payton comes with a resume. Belichick comes with that resume. I think it does get tougher, but you got to be yourself, you know, and so you got to put your foot down from the very beginning. Parcells wasn't like that day one in New York. So I'm not comparing anybody to Parcells. You know, but I'm just saying, like, he did get a chance to grow into that job, and and they did get LT, and they got players, but, you know, that's got to be inside of you already, you know, and that discipline, that side of you, and that lack of fear of getting on your star players, like, that's got to be who you are to begin with.
You know, Baldy, it was a lackluster wild card weekend. Look, the game's wrong. We're excited we get into them, but really one of six games was good. Yep. Looking ahead to the divisional round, give me one team that might be able to upset a couple of big spreads, whether it's the Chiefs and Texans. Obviously, you got the Eagles as they're getting set to take on the Rams. You got the Commanders, obviously, in there as well. So give me going against the Lions, which is a big spread. Give me the one team that you think is most likely to upset, if any, in divisional round.
Well, the team that is that, you know, I mean, Washington, their talent doesn't say they should have won 14 games and gone on the road and beaten the Bucs. Their talent says that. But in the last 5 weeks, they've beaten the Eagles and they beat the Bucs, you know, and they beat them on the road. And so you go, Jaden Daniels, that guy is unflappable. That guy is he's an unbelievable star player. The guy never gets ruffled. He calls the entire game from the shotgun. The noise, the atmosphere in Detroit is not going to ruffle him. He's been through it all this year. But their talent on defense isn't great, but yet they did a good job of shutting the Bucs down, and they overcame five turnovers and beat the Eagles a month ago. Like, that's the one team, just because they're not playing with house money. They believe that they can win the game in Detroit, and Detroit's defense is not great. So that's the one game I go, Jaden Daniels is just that good, and he might show everybody just how really good he is if they would shock the world.
Thank you, Baldy. Looking forward to talking to you next week. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Good job. Sal, I saw a stat on Jaden Daniels, I heard it the other day. I think it was in the car. I want to make sure I remember it, but it was along the lines of this year Daniels had three games where he had no turnovers and no punts, okay? Which is more than Brady and maybe Peyton and somebody combined in their entire career. He did it in one season.
He's insane. He's a lot of fun to watch. And I do think they could be a live dog in that game because I do think Detroit's vulnerable and people just sleeping on him. Some upsets are going to happen. At least one, I think, is going to happen this division run. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Make sure to check out the Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. When we come back, we'll talk some Knicks and then get back to your calls as well.